David, you'll tell me when I could start.
Okay,
good morning. It's a schuss to be able to learn with you, particularly here in Kilat Shifte Yeshurun. Particularly, my son-in-law Arya grew up here, so I have a tremendous karas hatov to the shul and tremendous harachat to the Rav Haber. And also to turn down a request. I generally can't come during the year. Baruch Hashem, I'm too busy. But during this week of vacation that I have, so to turn down a fellow Talmud of the same Rebbe, Rav David Lowy, we learned by Rav Braunschweigel together. That's something that's very, very hard to do. So I figured that out of kinship for all of the above, it's a schus to be able to spend my one Sunday off with the chevra. The topic b'siyata d'shmaya that I'd like to share with you is in Yonah Diyoma, the avelus of the Bein HaMetzarim. What we're going to do b'siyata d'shmaya is the following: we're going to analyze a few fascinating components about the halachos of the 3 weeks of the 9 days, and ask a few basic questions. Try to present a couple of fascinating approaches of the Poskim of how we look at the 3 weeks and the 9 days. And then, after that, see what hashkafik, what machshava message these fascinating halachas shed, and maybe even think about how to apply them, b'siyata d'shmaya, towards the avoida of the Bein HaMetzarim. Let's begin. You have these available electronically. When we were at Braunschweigel Shir, we didn't have that. Was not how we learned, but you have them available electronically on your phones, from what I understand. And let's begin with the first mikar, the formulation of the halachos that begin with Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, the language of the Ramah. The Ramah comments on the statement of the Mechaber, that there are things that are usher to do, for example, getting married from Rosh Chodesh Av. The Ramah says, V'noagin lahachmir, she'ein nosim miyudzayim b'tamuz v'eilech ad achar tishabav. The Ramah does not say usher. The Ramah says, our minug. Our minug is that we don't have chasanas during the 3 weeks. By the way, Chacham Avadya Zatzal, of course, pointed out for Sfardim, they don't have that minog as well. So he used to tell his tzibur, should get married during the 3 weeks. It's cheaper, the halls are cheaper. I don't know if David Lowy is cheaper, but I'm not sure what my chavis policy is. But at the end of the day, he said, we don't have that custom at all. Now, I want to emphasize that the lashon over here is noyagim, that this is the minog, this is the custom. Similarly, if you take a look, this is in Tav Kufnem Aleph Beis that we quoted first. Now we go on to Siv Gimel. Take a look at the Lashon of the Mechaber and the Lashon of the Ramah. Shvua Shechal Boi Tishabov, Asurim L'saper U'lechabes. The Lashon of the Mechaber is that it's prohibited to take haircuts, which we saw above, that for Ashkenazim was already for 3 weeks. Afilu Eina Rotzalov Sho'ata, and then the Mechaber gets involved in details of Kibbutz. Zok Deheilig Ramah. V'onu noyagin lahachmir b'chol zeh mitchilas Rosh Chodesh. It's well known that we have a phenomenon called the 9 days, which begins with Rosh Chodesh Av. The Mechaber says it's aser and shvua shechalbo to do these things, isuri avelus. And the Ramah says, and our custom is anu noyagin lahachmir b'chol zeh. Our custom is to be machmir from the 3 weeks and on. Doesn't say aser, our custom. That's, I think, very important. Compounding a lot of my emotions of this past year is I'm in avelus for my father, Hareini Kaparis Meshkovoi. My father was an Isha Ashkoilas. And my father's breadth in terms of his understanding of Torah and understanding of the history of Klal Yisrael was something that was very, very unique. And my father's breadth in terms of his love for Klal Yisrael was also unique. So my father, Hareini Kaparis Meshkovoi, used to like to tell the following story. when Hasidus began to spread like wildfire, the Hasidim had actually made inroads even into Vilna itself, in the heartland of Isnagdus. And one of the things that Hasidim do different in Europe, had done differently, is follow the minhag of the Svaridim, that they say Hallel on Lel Pesach, which ironically, the Grun, his Talmidim also held of, it gained momentum here in Eretz Yisrael. But in Vilna, none of the shuls said Hallel in shul on Lel Pesach. So Hasidim had a Murano minion, Mamish a hideaway minion, and they were saying Hallel on Lel Pesach. And the leader of the Misnagdim broke in. They had revealed the cell, and he broke in, and he ran up to the bima, and he grabbed the Shulchan Aruch, and he banged on the bima, and he said, Shteitin Ramah, v'onu einoy agin kein, v'onu einoy agin kein. He banged on the bima. And the leader of the Hasidim went over to the Misnagid, and he said, how do you know when the Ramah was writing this, the Ramah was banging on his desk, and he was screaming, v'onu einoy agin kein. Maybe the Ramah, when he was writing it, said, v'onu einoy agin kein. How you say anu einoyagin, anu noyagin is something that's absolutely critical in terms of, I think, even to Mesiras HaTorah, how Torah is passed on from generation to generation. That was something my father, Harini Kaparis Mishkova, used to like to say. So the Ramo over here, taking my father's ha'ara, the Ramo over here says, v'noyagin la'achmir. Our custom is to be machmir. Now, let's go from that sociological ha'ara, so now let's begin the halacha. The Rama doesn't say asur, and however the Rama said it, whether he was banging on the table or he was saying it softly, at the end of the day, the Rama says it as a minig. The Rama says shteitoif a minig. Why did the Rama say it as a minig? So that's going to be question number one. Question number two is you skip down to number seven. In a well-known Gemara, la halacha, but maybe less well-known in terms of the shitos, the Gemara in Daf Chavtesa, Mebeis, and Tainis has three different shitos in regards to when does the Avelus prior to Tisha B'Av begin. The Gemara quotes the shita Rabbi Meir. Actually, it's Rabbi Meir who says that the Avelus is from Rosh Chodesh Ara Tainis. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kol HaChodesh Kulo Yasser. Rabbi Yehuda says that the entire month of Av has all of the Nihugi Avelus. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Eina Asur Eloisa Shabbos Bilvad. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, it's what we call Shvu Shechalboi. And the Gemara, as we say in Yiddish, the Gemara fears ice. The Gemara develops La Halacha, and the Gemara concludes La Halacha from Rava, Omar Rava, Halacha Kerem Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is that we follow Reb Shimon Gamliel. When do the Nihugi Avelis prior to Tisha B'Av begin? It begins Shvu Shechalboi. In other words, what people who think that for Ashkenazim, if people would formulate that for Ashkenazim, the halacha is that it starts from Rosh Chodesh, that's not accurate at all. Because it's a Beferish Gemara that says that the Nihugi Avelus begins with Shvuah Shechalboi. There's a Marshtam in a Tshuva that says that you will never find, the Marshtam in Simen Mem writes, you will never find a place in halacha where a Rishon or an Achron will paskin against a Stimas HaGemara. The Rama can't be paskining against the Gemara, although he seems to be paskining against the Gemara. The Rama said that we do all of the Nihugi Avelus from Rosh Chodesh Av. Yet it's a Beferish Gemara like the Mechaber that says that the Nihugi Avelus begins already from Shvu Shechalboi. The Gemara says Beferish. So how could the Rama say that it begins from Rosh Chodesh Av? So number one is my father's observation in regards to Minog. Number two is, what is the Pshat in the Rama? At the end of the day, the Rama seems to be against a Beferish Gemara. Question number three. Question number three is a more of an intricate halachic question. If you take a look at number 8 in your electronic Marimekomos, the tour quotes a fascinating shita in the name of Rabbeinu Shabbat. It's a question who exactly this Rishon is, but he says as follows, number 8, Kasa Rabbeinu Shabbat, Hu adin nami kelim chadashim asr l'sakein Shabbos shechal vo tisha b'av. The Torah quotes a deya that says that not only is it prohibited for an individual to wash clothing, you're not allowed to fix clothing during Shavuot Shechal Bo as well. Hence, halacha lemaisa, we don't sew or make clothing, and for that matter, we even don't buy new clothing as well, even clothing that wouldn't qualify for a Shechiyonu. For Ashkenazim have the custom, as well as many Sfaradim, not to make a Shechiyonu the entire 3 weeks. But not only those things that would entail a Shechiyonu, even those things that don't get a Shechiyonu, you don't do during Shavuot Shechal Bo. What's the source for this? We don't have Rishonim that say things on their own. The tour continues in number 8. Digarsina biYerushalmi shenagu nishi dinahigi delo limishti amra migu de'ayil av. He quotes a fascinating Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that our women, this is very interesting. Now notice, not Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi. What's our women? Our women means the women of Eretz Yisrael. Our women in Eretz Yisrael had the custom not to sew or to weave once Av began. Once Av began, they had the custom. Now, at the end of the day, we saw that the Gemara and the Mechaber, leaving aside the Ramah that's difficult, says that the halachos of Avelus begin when? From Shavuot Shechal Bo. So then the Torah's raya is really strange. The Torah says the raya that there's an iser to fix clothing, to weave clothing, to sew, is because our women did stop doing it from Rosh Chodesh Av. Wait a second. The Torah is formulating a halacha in regards to Shavuot Shechal Bo, and he quotes Yerushalmi that says that they stopped doing it from Rosh Chodesh Av. What's that raya? The raya you should bring in terms of the halachas of Shavuot Shechal Bo. What's he going to Rosh Chodesh Av to bring a raya for? And the Beis Yosef asks this kasha. If you take a look later on in your Maamar Komus in number 13, which we'll eventually get to, we'll see that the Beis Yosef already deals with this problem. So question number 1 is, why does the emphasis of the Ramah minig? Question number 2 is, how is it that the Ramah could paskin against the Beferish Gemara? Question number 3 is, what a very technical question within the Torah, is what is the Torah bringing a raya from Yerushalmi to Shavuot Shechal Bo from the halachas of the 9 days, which, bepashtus, we don't even follow the halacha? The Bavli paskin already that you start from Shavuot Shechal Bo. Last question, b'siyata d'shmaya, for this morning. There are actually 2 places in Shas that we have the term mishenichnas av mimatim besimcha. That we have the term in Shas of mimatim besimcha. There are 2 places in Shas we have mimatim besimcha. One is from the famous rule that we have, mishenichnas av mimatim besimcha. That you see in number 9 in the Rambam, Perek Hei Halacha Vav. Mishi Ikones av mimatim besimcha. Lesser well known is that we also have the term mimatim besimcha if chas v'chalila there isn't rain. So just like we have the concept by in Rosh Chodesh Av, there are things that we do that we're mimayit besimcha, so too, if there isn't rain, we're also mimayit besimcha. Now, compare the Lashon of the Rambam in number 9 and in number 10. The Rambam in Hilchas Tainis Perek Hei Halacha Vav, which is talking about the halachos of preparing for Tisha B'Av, Mishi Kanes Amatim Besimcha, and compare it to the Rambam in number 10, also in Hilchas Tainis, Perek Gimel Halacha Ches. State in Heilige Rambam, Avru Elu Veloy Nenu, Mimatin Mimasa Umatan Ubinyin Shel Simcha. If Chas V'Chalila there isn't rain, that means we have to focus more on Tshuva. And if we have to focus more on tshuva, so we have to be memayit besimcha. Now this term is used in the Gemara in Yevamos, and the Gemara spells out what that means. The Gemara says that one is supposed to diminish the amount of business that one does during that time. You shouldn't be focusing on making profits. ubinyan shel simcha. And you should also not be involved in a building that would bring about joy. Yet, the Rambam, in regards to Mishenichnas Amat in Simcha, doesn't describe. He doesn't tell us what that means. He doesn't give us the halachic definition. By Avru Elu Velo Nenu, then the Rambam gives us a halachic definition. Yet, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Av, Mishenichnas Amat in Besimcha, he doesn't stop at this. This the Gedoy Leilita noticed. The Aruch HaShulchan in number 12 stops at and has a fascinating chiddush lahalacha. I'll let you take a look at that. I'm not going to go with the Aruch HaShulchan's approach. Rabbi Yosha Ber Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik, as quoted by Rav Shurkin Shlita in Harei Kedem, had a different approach. And we're going to b'siyata d'shmaya see that approach in terms of dealing and apply Rabbi Yosha Ber's Mahalach to answer the other questions that we had earlier as well. Rabbi Yosha Ber suggested at the time, when the first time I saw it, it sounded like quite a chiddush in a vacuum, but the more and more I thought about it, I realized the halacha supports this fascinating chiddush, and I think it says so much about our avodas Hashem towards the Bein HaMitzarim and the 9 days. If you take a look at number 11, he says as follows. The underline. V'chol adin shel mi shenichnas av mematim b'simcha hu chiyuv shel avelus shebelev l'mayit b'simcha aval ein chefza shel maisim sheyesh aleim chiyuv shel nihuge avelus. Rabbi Yosha Ber was mechadesh that the reason why the Rambam did not say Mishenichnas Amatim B'Simcha is there isn't particular examples according to the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, is going to paskin that the Avelus really begins by Shavua Shechal Boy. But there's a halacha that's Nimsar to Klal Yisrael that was Nimsar almost the Chol Yehudi V'Yehudi. That each one of us has to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh of what is Simcha for us. And what should we be memayit? In contrast to the time in which there isn't rain, then there are particular halachos, there are particular examples. When Chazal describe memayitim besimcha, they're not, in their halachos, they're not referring to Mishenichnas Av, they're referring to Avru Velo Nenu. But when it comes to Mishenichnas Av, so that is something that's Masur Lelev, that's something that's given over to all of Klal Yisrael. I wanted to be medayik this in the Torah of my Rebbe, Rav Nevensal Shlita. If you take a look at number 14, and take a look at number 15 actually, so many of you are familiar, first of all, just a fascinating observation about Rav Nevensal. How many of you are familiar with Rav Nevensal's Svarim? I'm quite sure that the Svarim that you're familiar with, my Rebbe didn't write. My Rebbe only wrote, to my knowledge, he wrote articles. When people ask him to write, you know, an article for a Torah journal, he's written many, many articles. He's only written one Sefer, and that's the least popular of all of his Svarim. It's B'Yitzchak Ikare, which is also the name of his Mishnah Brura, B'Yitzchak Ikare on Shas. That, most people don't buy. All of his other Svarim, his Sichot, which are world famous, and his Mishnah Brura, which was printed by Nativ Aryeh that has his Ha'aros, those are not his Ha'aros that he wrote by his hand. They're a Likut of his Ha'aros from the Shiurim. And the Sefer Yerushalayim B'Mo'adev was printed by his children and some other Talmidim. So it's a fascinating irony that my Rebbe's life is Shas. The Totzah of his life in Shas is his beautiful Sichos. Is this beautiful halacha l'maisa. In fact, I'll tell you something interesting. I've been zocha to spend hundreds of hours with Rav Nevensal, and he taught me Mishnah Brura. So I would bring over to him the Mishnah Brura. He knows Mishnah Brura kemat bal peh. I never saw my Rebbe on his own sitting and learning Mishnah Brura. Every time I go over to him, he's learning. He's either reading svarim that people have sent him. And he's writing Hagos. he's responding to letters that have been written to him, or he's learning Shas. That's him. His mahus, everything else, the sicha, his whole life is learning Shas. Everything else is a totsah of that. Now, of course, the world has gravitated to the beauty of that totsah. Why do I mention all this in the middle of our discussion about Mishenichnas Amatim B'Simcha? Because his Sefer Yerushalayim B'Mo'adeha, a beautiful svarim that were put out by his children, they took his sichos, as well as they have Shelos U'Tshuvas over there. So in the Shelo U'Tshuva, they asked him, Ma kavana Mishenichnas Amatim B'Simcha? What does it mean? Mishenichnas Amatim B'Simcha. Rebbe, teach us. What is it la'alacha? What is it Mishenichnas Amatim B'Simcha? Rav Neventzal answers, Nirur shekolu baze kol mine simcha. It includes all different types of simcha. Ve'en laharbos b'tiulim v'shar tanugim. And you shouldn't go on many tiulim, and it's not a time of enjoyment. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of tshuva, as the Rambam describes. Now, I know for a fact that the footnotes in Yerushalayim B'Mo'adeh, for those who are familiar with the Sefer, the top third is shelos u'tshuvas, and the bottom two-thirds are footnotes with sources. So that bottom two-thirds was not written by Rav Neventzal. Those were written by children and Talmidim. I know that for a fact because I did a couple of the footnotes. I assure you it's not him. It's not the same level of quality. So one of his excellent Talmidim, I never finalized who it was, but it doesn't matter. He adds in the footnote, Omnam bepashtus yesh lomar, shemaitim besimcha haynu bebinyan unetiyah shel simcha. What is Mishnichnas amaitim besimcha? It's a Gemara! So the Talmud adds in the Haros, he says, it's interesting that the Rebbe didn't quote a Beferish Gemara. He just says that it depends on, it includes kol mine simcha, and a person's supposed to decide. So I think my Rebbe's answer was meduyak, based on, I have a raya that Rav Neventzal holds like Rav Soloveitchik in this regard. That what? That when it comes to Mishenichnas Amaitim Simcha, when he was asked it, he didn't say, quote, the rules from the Gemara. But rather, he said, every person needs to make a cheshbon of what is their Mishenichnas Amimatim B'Simcha. Hence, he did not answer the Gemara. And I think what this Talmud added, which is seems to be technically correct, intentionally, my Rebbe left out. Okay. So now we have Rabosai. We've answered one question. We still have three questions that we haven't answered at all. We've suggested... a chiddush of Soloveitchik held, which my diuk is, Rav Neventzal holds of as well, and that is a Mishenichnas Amatim B'Simcha is not the standard definition, halachic definition. And we have a bunch of other kashas that we need to address. What are the other kashas? The other kashas are working backwards. Question number three was the question of Rabbeinu Shabbat that's quoted by the Tur, where the Tur says that the halach is that we don't do malacha during Shavuot Shechalbo because we see that the Nashim Yerushalayim did not sow during Shavuot Shechalbo. What's the, during, from Rosh Chodesh Av. They didn't sow from already from Rosh Chodesh Av. Question number two that we had was the question in regards to how is it that we paskin against the Beferish Gemara? How is it that we have Nihuge Avelos already starting from Rosh Chodesh Av if the Gemara says Beferish starts from Shavuot Shechalbo. Question number one was the question in regards to the emphasis of the Ramah in terms of Minhag. So Rabosai, I'd like to suggest, based on what Rav Soloveitchik was saying, the following Yisod, which I think also answers all the other questions, and I think it takes us to a beautiful place in terms of our Avodas Hashem for the Bein HaMitzarim and the 9 days. And that is the following. What was the Lashon of the Yerushalmi that the Torah quoted? Look back at number 8. The Garsinam B'Yerushalmi, Shenohagu Nishi, Dinihigi Delo Mishteri, it's Perek Mokam Shenohagu, Nishi Dinihigi Delo Mishteri Imri, Migu Da'al Av. There were women in Yerushalayim that couldn't bring themselves to sow starting Rosh Chodesh Av. In other words, the pain of the Churban was so great that it was not a time. Just think of a widow in mourning, whose whether it's a clinical depression or just a a mindset, but think of a widow who's just entirely broken. Someone who's lost a close family member. They can't bring themselves to do the things that they enjoy. Lania's daiti, everything starts from this. Everything starts, mishenichnas ad mematim besimcha, works in consonance, the Bavli here works in consonance with the Yerushalmi, that when the Chazan announced that Av is coming, the pain of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, the recognition of what that anniversary, that the anniversary that's coming, they Pashut couldn't bring themselves to do the things that they enjoy. So what does the Rambam say? We're supposed to follow that minhag. We're supposed to be inspired by the women of Yerushalayim of yesteryear. We're supposed to also ask ourselves, is now a time for us to go on Tiulim? Is it now a time for us to indulge in the things that we enjoy? Or maybe we're supposed to be focusing on something else. Based on this, all the kashas fall away. Let's start with the easy ones. You know why the Rama used the term minug in regards to 3 weeks? Why the Rama said the word minug in regards to 9 days? Because it started as customs. The way I understand it is the moment in which we, Klal Yisrael in Ashkenaz, began to fast in Sheva Asar B'Tammuz, the leaders and Mamela, their children, couldn't bring themselves to make a chasana during that time. The time was too painful. It was efshar, ein ma'arvin simcha b'tzar. It was impossible to mix the simcha of marrying off a child with the tzar. Some have suggested historically, if you look in Ashkenaz, the pain of Golus that was going on at the time, and it's Yodua, that already for hundreds and hundreds of years, even before the Holocaust, that Tisha B'Av was looked at as the day that was the anniversary of all the calamities of Klal Yisrael. That's why Rabbi Yosher Ber Zatzal was against creating a special day for Yom HaShoah. And he thought because everything was Kolol in Tisha B'Av. In Klal Yisrael, it was always Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim was the time. In fact, my grandmother, her entire family was killed al Kiddush Hashem. Everybody. I grew up in the shadows of the Shoah. It's fascinating. I was born in 1974. I grew up, I feel like, in some ways in 1946, 1947. So everyone of my grandmother had no one left after the war. 1946, 1947, she asked Rav Ginsburg, who was the Rav in Vancouver, where my father grew up, she asked him, when is you supposed to say Kaddish? Actually, my grandmother didn't say Kaddish. My grandfather said Kaddish. But when should they commemorate the yard site? They had no idea when they were all killed al Kiddush Hashem. And the Rav said Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was the... Was the time. Those were the two times. Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim was the Masoros and Klal Yisrael to remember all of Klal Yisrael's calamities. So what happened was, in the collective mindset of Klal Yisrael, particularly in Ashkenaz, already from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the moment in which we start fasting at Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the moment in which these minhagim began. Where does this minig start from? It starts from that Yerushalmi and Perek Makom Shenagu of Nishidi Dun, they couldn't bring themselves to do it. And of course, that answers the question in the Ramah. It can't be that the halachas of Nihugei Avel start with the 3 weeks, or even for that matter, the 9 days. It's the Beferish Gemara. The Beferish Gemara is that the Nihugei Avel start with Shvuah Shechal Boy. But the pain was so searing. The pain was so searing that already, from Mishenichnas Av, it was put into the halachic system, the vague formulation, according to Rambam, of Mishenichnas Av and Ma'atim B'Simcha, and for already in Ashkenaz, the Noagin already started not to get married, not to have haircuts, already from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And it would seem that the Beis Yosef says half of this pshat. If you take a look at number 13, we pointed out the difficulty of what is the raya, bring a raya from the Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha to the halachas of Shvuah Shechalbo. So if you take a look at the second half of number 13, the Beis Yosef says, V'oid Yeshleimer, Sharash Beit Soiver, Dehadik Ka'amar B'Yushal Minhaga, Hainu Lomar Shum Minik Kosher, Aval Eina Aser Min Adin, Ela Boise Shabbos Bovad. What the Torah is saying is that there was already a minute kasher. Now, if there was already a minute kasher that they couldn't bring themselves already from Rosh Chodesh Av, not that it was a halacha, because as the Beis Yosef points out, we don't paskin like Rebbe Meir. But if already there was a minute kasher not to sow, certainly, then once the Nihuga Avelu start, then certainly it's going to be usher. That's the omek of the Torah. So kemat the pshat that I'm saying is kemat the beferish of Beis Yosef. I think the Beis Yosef says the pshat that we're suggesting. Ad kan divrei halacha. This is the body of the shir. What I think is a new way of looking at it. Any questions, thoughts, reflections? Beautiful. Okay. So now, Rabosai, I want to ask one more question. We just did, of course, the word lama is first needs to be asked lama for what, and then we could ask lama why. We've understood the what. That's our Masorah and Brisk. That what we need to do is really quantify and qualify the halachas. I think after we've done that in a mature, honest way, then we can ask another question. And the question is a lama question, and that is why. And what do I mean by the why question over here? Is actually this type of approach is quite unique. Halacha generally doesn't work this way. Halacha doesn't work that we tell people you're supposed to focus on feeling a certain way, and then you'll decide what the action is supposed to be. In fact, halacha generally works in the opposite direction. A classic example is the parallel from Nihuge Avelos of the 3 weeks and the 9 days to Nihuge Avelos by an Avel himself. Chazal say, Ein aninus ela belef. Avelus is really, the kiyum of Avelus is the mourning in the heart. But there are Yud Aleph, Isurei Nihuge Avelus, as the Rambam describes in Hilchas Avel. In fact, when is Avelus contradicted and when is Avelus uprooted? When there's a clash between the experience of joy in the heart with joy, with sorrow in the heart. Let me explain what I mean. Hilchos Yomtiv. The Gemara tells us, Amayikotan and Daf Yudalid Amabez, that if Yomtiv clashes with Avelus, Osi Asei de Rabim, Vidochi Asei de Yachid, then the halacha is that Yomtiv is Doicha Avelus. Pushes the Avelus away. Do we say that by Shabbos? No. According to most Rishayim, it's a machlaikis, but the halacha is, halacha lemaisa. The halacha is that it's nidche only by Yom Tov. Why? So when it comes to Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah saseh of simcha. Shabbos doesn't have a mitzvah of simcha. This is what the Rishonim spell out. In other words, on Yom Tov, it's impossible to be, on Yom Tov, it's impossible to coexist with Avelus. Because simcha belev and Avelus belev, ein aninus ela belev, those two can't coexist. Chazal, and this is how we paskin halach, although there's a machlokis about this, we paskin that on Shabbos it's possible for a person to be avelus. Why? Because there's no chiyuv of simcha belev on Shabbos. There's oinig and kavod, but there isn't a mitzvah of simcha. By the way, I have a machlokis about this with the author of the Sefer Chavtzelas HaSharon. I started disagreeing with him before I knew how big of a Talmud Chacham he was, but I still hold my shita. I wrote, and I saw he had written, the author of the Chavtzelas HaSharon had written a letter into the Torah journal Aliba de Hilchasa, where he argued that there is a kiyum mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. And he had fascinating rayas for it, but I think I could be docha all of those rayas. And I saw just a letter from a Rav Kalbach, and I was bothered because I think that there is no kiyum mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. I think there's kavod and oneg. I wrote a letter back, and that was it. And then I saw that the Sefer Chavtzelas HaSharon, in Parshas Baloscha, on the Pasuk of V'yom Simchaschem, in that Sefer, he has this piece about Simcha on Shabbos. So I think there is no mitzvah Simcha on Shabbos, and I think the halachos of Avelus actually bring this bring this point out, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are fundamentally different. Shabbos has oneg and kavod, and that's why you could have a velus that coexists with Shabbos. That's why you could have Dvarim Shebitzina that's asur by Avelus and Shabbos. In contrast to Yom Tov, where the Nihuge Avelus are supposed to create a Kiyum of Avelus Belev, and the Chiyuv of Simcha is on Yom Tov, is Nihuge Simcha to create the Kiyum HaSimcha Belev. And that can't coexist to each other. This Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik has in the Yartzeit Shiurim, Binyan Avelus, his understanding of Yom Tov, and that would be the distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos. I'm saying all of this to bring out a question, and then I'll take your question, and that is that when it comes to halacha, halacha generally does not work this way. Halacha mandates that the Avel do Yun Aleph Nihuge Avelus to bring him to a place where he could possibly open himself up to an Avelus Shebelev. So he sits on the ground, he's not with his wife, etc., etc., etc. That's how halacha works. And for those of us who know the majesty of halacha and the kolach of halacha and the shmira that halacha has had over Klal Yisrael all the generations, what is that kolach? The kolach that there is a right way to go, there's a way we're supposed to act, and hopefully the emotions are going to follow. But if we're not feeling it, you know, if it happens to be one Shabbos morning, we don't wake up and we're not feeling Shabbos, it's Shabbos anyhow, we're going to keep Shabbos, and we know that that has kept Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. That's the koach, that's the majesty of halacha. Yet, over here, we don't have the majesty of halacha. Here, something else takes place. Here we have almost the inverse. Here we say, comes the 3 weeks. Once upon a time in Yerushalayim, 2,000 years ago, there was someone who subjectively felt it. And our ancestors, us Ashkenazim, 1,000 years ago, because of the pains of Golos, they couldn't marry off their children once they started fasting on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So you, when it comes Rosh Chodesh Av, you continue those minhagim, and when it comes Rosh Chodesh Av, you make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and you decide what are those things, mishenichnas amat imesimcha. Normally, halacha doesn't say, you decide, you the avel decide whether this thing speaks to you. That's not how halacha works. Why is it over here particularly that it works this way? There was a question before.
No, just mitzad simcha
v'shav. Yes. Yes, very good, very good. It will be my pleasure to come back and have a whole shiur discuss. I have a whole shiur to answer that question. In my Sefer, Amaseches Ksubis, I address part of your question. My argument is, in one sentence, my argument is for next, in Mirtz Hashem, next Tammuz. But in one sentence, the argument is that I hold it's not a Cholas Hagavra to have simcha, but rather the day itself is a Yom HaSimcha. And I think there are hashlachos and nafkaminas. The proof that I'm right, I'm convinced I'm right, is the fact that there's only kavod and oinig. There isn't a chiyuv simcha. It's clear in halacha, there's chiyuv simcha on Shabbos. So, and what does a yom simcha of Shabbos mean? That emir tzashem for the siyata d'shmaya another time. Okay. Nachzor l'inyoneinu. So, but what about this idea that what's this anomaly? So Rabosa, here's where the machshava b'siyata d'shmaya, I think, works really beautifully with the halacha. There is a beautiful medrash Tanchoma about the name Yerushalayim. Of course, in Tanakh, Yerushalayim is not written as Yerushalayim. It's written as Yerushalayim. I remember as a child, the first time I realized that, I was like, it's really, really strange. We pronounce it Yerushalayim, but in Tanakh it's written as Yerushalayim. So there's Alpi, the Medrash, and Alpi Kabbalah, there's a beautiful explanation. Unfortunately, no one ever, when I was a child, no one put together the other thing that I had heard in kindergarten. What I had heard in kindergarten, like many, many children, and that is if you do a mitzvah, so then it adds another brick to the Beis Hamikdash in Shemayim, right? Every mitzvah we do, whether that's the best way to teach children or not, eventually what you should teach children is the following. Of course, that there is a Yerushalayim Shalmaila and Yerushalayim Shalmata. There's a heavenly Mikdash, and that is manifest when the Beis HaMikdash is built in the lower Beis HaMikdash. And as the Medrash Tanchuma says, V'chein amru David Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra lo yachtav. What does it mean, ki'ir shechubra lo yachtav? Yerushalayim is the linkage, says the Medrash, misvina birikia bikarka laspura kichoda ba'ara. There is a heavenly and there is a earthly Migdash, because Yerushalayim is the linking point between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Ki'ir shechubra lo yachtav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds his dwelling place in the Beis HaMikdash, which l'davoneinu we don't have today. And that is the meaning point between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Of course, that's the explanation of Yerushalayim, that there are two Yerushalayims. That is the place in where the upper worlds and lower worlds meet, and that is what we learned in kindergarten as well, that when the Yerushalayim Shel Mala will be finally completed, so then in such a case, then the Beis HaMikdash will be built in this world. Now you can understand this idea, this basic Midrashic and Kabbalistic idea, that it's not simply the way, the most graphic way that it's described, that the Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash will be built in the heavens, and that Beis HaMikdash will come down, but rather what's going on is that when the Beis HaMikdash in the heavens is incomplete, then the Beis HaMikdash in this world cannot be built. In other words, you need the Yerushalayim Shel Mala in order to have Yerushalayim Shel Mata. This is said most cogently by the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph, Perek Gimel and Perek Dalid describes the following. Reb Chaim Volozhin describes the following idea. He says, Titus HaRasha didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's our Averus that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the state of Mikdash in this world, the state of, for that matter, even of Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, is dependent on what we are doing in the spiritual worlds. And if our Averus don't allow that Yerushalayim Shel Mala to exist, then Memela Tchina Tochan, says the Nefesh HaChaim. What Titus HaRasha raised to the ground was really a sand Migdash. It already didn't exist anymore because the Migdash Shel Mala had already been destroyed due to our Averus. The Migdash Shel Mala had already been destroyed. So Migdash, as the Zohar says in number 17, is the meeting point between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And what is the Migdash referred to? Ba'oifin zeh, hiskin HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'olam, says the Zohar, v'aso guf echad, v'halev shoyre be'emtza shu tokvoy shel kulam. The Migdash is lev ha'olam. It's the heart of the world. It's the connection between the upper world and the lower world. It's the lev. It's the heart. When Klal Yisrael in the lower worlds, in their lev, are not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Klal Yisrael might be, as many Ma'amari Chazal that describe this, they were going through the actions, but it was mitzvah sanashim ulumada. They weren't being mevarech birchas haTorah tchila and everything that represents. They were, it seems, on the outside, they were serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, but when they closed the doors, as we're going to see in Kinos, when the closed doors, there was a avodah zarah on the back of the doors. On the outside, we were very, very frum, but in the inside, there were many things that were corrupt. So then the lev, Klal Yisrael would continue to exist. The guf would continue to exist. The neshama would also continue to exist, but they were separated from each other. The obvious meeting point between those two worlds had now been taken away. Klal Yisrael goes on. And if Klal Yisrael goes on, it's not only the guf of Klal Yisrael goes on, the neshama also goes on, but it's no longer manifest in the lev ha'olam. Because the lev of Klal Yisrael has become corrupt, so then in such a case, the manifestation of Shechina in the lev ha'olam has to be removed. And then our connection between us and our neshama, our connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is all broken down. By the way, Reb Chaim Volozhin takes this so seriously to give the most powerful mussar that he probably gives in all Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. What's awesome about the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim is it's almost impossible to summarize the nature of the work. Nefesh HaChaim is a work of theology, it's a work of philosophy, and it's a work of Musar. That's the awesomeness of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. In Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner takes this basic theological understanding of Mikdash, and then he turns it into one of the most powerful forms of Musar. What did we say? The Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, the holiest place of the earth, is Lev HaOlam. It's the meeting point between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. It's the manifestation of Shechina, because it's when the Shechina meets the physical world. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, what is a Jewish heart? What is a human being, a Jew, flesh and blood, what is his heart? His heart is the meeting point between his guf and his neshama. It's the same thing. In other words, just like you have lev ha'olam of the Mikdash, you also have lev ha'adam, which is the same thing. It's the meeting point between neshama and guf. Now, want to hear Reb Chaim Volozhiner's use of the word charedi? Let's see how Reb Chaim Volozhiner defines charedi. Take a look, number 19. I'm saying this as an intro. It's not the focus. Gam kol zois yechrad leva odom me'ama koidesh shu koilel b'tavnisoi kol akoichos v'olam ha'iskulam. This is probably one of the most powerful Musar pieces that Lanias Daiti exists in all of the Sfarim HaKadoshim. He says a Jewish heart should shudder when he thinks about this, lachrod, to shudder, shehein hema hakodesh vamigdash elyon, vahalev shel adam emtziusa degufa. The heart of a person is the same idea, keneged beis kodshei hakadoshim. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in the kodshei kadoshim, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in the heart of every Jew, because it's that same meeting point of neshama and guf. And here he says his Musar. He goes on and he says the following. What's worse? Titus HaRasha did the worst Averos in the Kodesh Kodashim, or a thought of Avera of a Jewish soul? Reb Chaim Volozhiner argues that the Beis HaMikdash is the outer manifestation of Ashuras HaShechina, but the ultimate expression of Ashuras HaShechina is the shiluv of neshama and guf in every single person. And he says, an hirur avera of a person is more chamur than avera done b'kodshei kadoshim. Wow. That's charedi. Gam kol zois yechrad leiva adam. It's a fascinating, fascinating musar. Fascinating theological, that's a fascinating example of Reb Chaim Volozhiner taking yisoidos amukim in Avodas Hashem, and putting it into a fascinating Musar. It's Kedai, before Shivasar B'Tamas, to think about that Musar of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So sometimes we think that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there, so we're sort of detached from all the potential of Kedusha. For Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the ultimate Kedusha is a Jewish heart. That's the ultimate Kedusha. Vos is geshen mit Chorban. So what was Chorban? Chorban was the toitzah, it was the result of the fact that the lev had been undermined. The guf and the neshama had been separated. The guf and the neshama of Klal Yisrael had been separated, so then the guf and the neshama, where it's linked in the Beis HaMikdash in the world, also separates, also disappears. Ad kan dvarim hakdoshim from the Nefesh HaChaim. Lanias Daiti, maybe we can be mechadesh, based on what our Rabbeim said, and based on this Yisoid of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, based on our understanding of what Chorban was, we can now understand why the halacha is so unique when it comes to Bein HaMetzarim, when it comes to the 9 days. Why is it that here, when it comes to the Avelus of Bein HaMetzarim, it starts with the heart, and we say it's subjective, mishenichnas am matim b'simcha, and only you get to nihugei avelus only towards the end as we get closer to Tisha B'Av. Yet, when it comes to a general halacha, halacha doesn't work that way. Halacha says that you're supposed to drink Dalekosos. You're supposed to eat matzah to reach, as Reb Branchfield used to say beautifully, in order for a person to reach Chayiv Adam Lira says Atzma Kilu Yotzim Mitzrayim. The halacha is pushing us in a particular direction. Yet here it goes in the other way. The answer is that when it comes to this tkufa, is a time for us to ask ourselves, listen to me carefully, is a time for us to ask ourselves about ortho practice. At Baruch Hashem, Yadus has flourished. And Baruch Hashem, it's flourishing in Eretz Yisrael. But it flourishes sometimes in practice. Mitzvah sanashim ulumadu. We have so many minyanim, so many dafyoim yishurim, b'liayin hara, vayter, vayter, vayter. But at the end of the day, the tkufa of Bein HaMetzarim is we ask ourselves, where is the lave in all this? Where is the lave in all this? Because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because it reached a point where the lev was entirely missing. So therefore, we're supposed to remind ourselves of the Bubas and Zaydas. Not the Bubas and Zaydas, but Taras Chiyuv. We're supposed to remind ourselves of the way in which our ancestors felt the way the Churban was. And our ancestors felt the Churban in such a poignant way that what happened was is they began these minhagim that they couldn't bring themselves to marry off their children during this time. They couldn't bring themselves to it. Now's the time for us to ask ourselves, how much is our lave in general involved in Avodas Hashem? And how much do we feel the loss of Bayis? How much do we feel that loss? B'siyata d'shmaya, when one takes that approach, then one begins to see an entirely different approach to even halacha, particularly in the time of Bein HaMetzarim. And in general, the majesty of halacha works. The majesty of halacha does work. And that's what's kept Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. But now's the time we're supposed to stop. Now's the time where we're supposed to stop and say, are we doing this just because this is what we're supposed to be doing? Or is what we're doing, when I put on tefillin in the morning, when I say Moed Ani in the morning, when I check in for the Daf Yoimi, when I keep Shabbos, am I doing those things because that's what I'm supposed to do? Because that's what the Shulchan Aruch, demands of us, or is it something? Is it something more? Someone just told me during Raiva de Ravin a joke. He said there's a certain group of Hasidim that have switched into Lashon Kodesh. They speak in Hebrew, but the Rebbe has an old Masaira that, of course, that they say in Yiddish. So one of the Hasidim asked the other Chassid, he said, do you understand the Rebbe? Because now they speak, this is a fact, I'm talking about a particularly large sect of Hasidus here in Eretz Yisrael that now speaks in Hebrew. So one of the Hasidim asked the other Chassid, do you understand the Rebbe? We now speak in Lashon Kodesh, but do you understand? So he says, yes, I understand the Rebbe's. He said, but there's one word I don't understand what the Rebbe says. What does Eibishter mean? That's a fascinating, fascinating joke. What does Eibishter mean? That's the question that we need. That's the question that we need to ask ourselves during the Avelos Bein HaMetzarim. Shteitan halacha zay, and so much even in the 3 weeks. If the 3 weeks and the 9 days, let's put it this way, we'll be messiahing this way. If the 3 weeks and the 9 days is all about calling the Rav, and I think the Rav Shlita would be masking to me 100%. If the 3 weeks and the 9 days is all about calling the Rav to find out what's mutter and what's usher to do, then we miss the essence of what the Avelos Bein HaMetzarim is all about. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to go through the Avelos Bein HaMetzarim properly, the 9 days properly, the siyata d'shmaya to reconnect the lave of Klal Yisrael, and we should be zocha b'siyata d'shmaya to rejoice with the Eivishter b'siyata d'shmaya in the Beis HaMikdash.